We're going to talk about the purpose of the church. I'm going to mess with this for a little bit more. I'm going to try to branch out to do something better. It's been very difficult for me in the last 2 years. I'll just tell you that up front. It's been hard. I want to go into some other areas, and I probably will be asking you about some various things. Do you think that the early church looked like what we have in this day and time? I'm not talking about cars and stuff like that, you know, fast chariots and all that. Just the way things worked. I don't see us anywhere really close into where they were in the first century. I will tell you this, that in the first century, and I do know that there was quite a lot of badness happening in the early century, because you had good people who loved God. You had bad people who didn't like anybody, especially if you were religious of some kind outside of the evil way people responded to what we call good. A lot of evil in the world. And God was very aware of it and dealt with it many, 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 many times in different things. Do you think that it's possible that we have transposed a vision on the church today that was not the same vision that was seen in the first century? Is that possible? What about probability? The basic rule, I don't know about the Baptists. I think they probably messed it up too. I know the Catholic fouled it up. I'm not sure we're any better. But there was a vision in the world. It became a division. And then churches just went nuts. They branched out and branched out, and they started changing the truth of the promises. And you started having other kinds of churches that's coming up here that's not bringing that message the same way that God intended it. And I wouldn't say of myself that I got it right either. If the church was a place to go and we looked at it that way, we'd be seeing it wrong. The church is an environment. It's not a place. It doesn't have a post office over here, you know. It's an environment of righteous behavior that lifted up not the world, but the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of that was together. And so in this Trinity, the ones who worked among the people of that day were a lot more savvy of what was going on in the church in that part of the world. If you've ever read the New Testament, did you ever hear the church spoken of as a place? No. We do it wrong almost all the time. Where y'all going this morning all dressed up? We say to people. What do they say? We're going to church. The church, if you want to know, does not have a physical address. It doesn't have a place that sits over here or over here. It's everywhere God is. Romans 6:5, the Bible says, greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epinias, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Here again, you've got the church that meets at their house. Well, that's a house church, isn't it? So you get all gussied up on Sunday and we're going to go to church. You miss the whole thing. Who is the church? God's people are the church. You notice carefully in Romans 16:5 that the church met at their house. Let me ask you this question. Let's suppose we had 100 people in here today, and we were going to meet together. We were going to do various things we do when we meet together, as the Bible points out, for different things. And there'll be people here, and then there'll be people somewhere else, maybe a few addresses up the road on the left, and maybe have some more people right there. The church was not located at a certain place. Matter of fact, you couldn't locate the church if you wanted to, because it is not a place. It's an entity. And so in this entity, they took these people and they worked among them, and the church met at their house. Now, is it possible that that would be called a house church, wouldn't it? Could you do that without stretching? Yeah. So is it possible that next week or next time they get together, that Herman says, we're going to take our group over to our house? Would they still be in line with the working of the church? How much money could be saved if you had a house church? No bills. You know, if we were at house church at Herman's house this week, he's paying for the air conditioner. But don't worry, your time's coming, and you get to go to their house. You know, you do that. It takes all of the money issue just about out of it, except for what you have to help people with. And that's the way the first century did it. In this text where we talked about the church here, was the church a dedicated place? Is it a dedicated place to where you go every week and gather, or was it a gathering in someone's house? Somebody's house. Whatever it was, it was not dedicated as a church building as it is in our case. Also, take careful note that this meeting was not formal, where formality is the case in most things, in more congregation than most of us would care to know. More cities and towns that we could imagine could be dealt with differently. An assembly is run in such a way that most of the people doing the task of the assembly are required everywhere they go to wear their Sunday best. Is that pretty much true? You don't necessarily want to go looking like a slob, but what if you had worked all night just so you could go to an assembly the next day with the people you love, and the other people were doing the same kind of thing, and they all come in here, some of them a little smelly, some of them maybe not. Is that okay? Is God offended if you have not put on the deodorant under your armpits? Is God offended by that? Don't you figure God has smelled worse? I tell you what, the nastiest thing I have ever done in my life, and it was happening up the highway somewhere close to Taylor, wherever that was. Where was Taylor? Spring Hill. Up the road from Taylor. Railroad tracks and all that stuff, and a lot of that stuff goes along, you know, with the railroad. And they had changed out a bunch of cross ties. And man, we saw an opportunity to make money. And we got in there not knowing it was also a sewer. We didn't smell good for a long time. But we got every one of those things for nothing. And didn't even get sick. I don't want to go back to there. You know, if you do a little Greek work for a few moments, it'll help us if we listen carefully to the word ekklesia. Now, for us, that word don't mean a whole lot to most people. Those who know some things about ekklesia know that that's powerful, powerful message stuff. The ek in the word ekklesia is a preposition that means out of. Kalo, the second part of the word, is a verb that carries the idea which is literally meaning to call together. We just say, where are we going? We're going to church. You got to go with these people in that language. You got to clarify everything because their terminology is very, very exact. Just for fun, convocation is probably where we get our formality in all of this and how we've done it. A convocation could be something on the order of meeting members of a college or university, or to observe a particular ceremony such as the beginning of the school year or the announcing of the awards or honors and such as that. It's just a formal meeting. What we have to understand is that Webster's dictionary was not inspired in the Bible. That church thing was not a place to go. Rather, it was a gathering of people with a specific purpose. God had his people on specifics. There was latitude in certain things. These Greek words that come out from some of these things are really pretty cool when you take time to work with it. Listen to this single text and see what you hear when you hear these words written. For some of these, though I wish it was most, Acts 2:42 is the purpose statement of the church getting ready for their propulsion into the world. They were not stagnant. They did not come and they say, okay, we're here today. Brother Robert, you're going to do this. And brother, you know what, all this kind of stuff. It wasn't done that way. This is how it was done in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking bread and to prayer. And these things were the strong point that the church wanted and needed to hear. This is a great text that tells us things that we are called constantly to do in our lives, though most of us have regulated it to a time and a place on Sunday. And that should not have happened. Now it's here, and to fix that would be murder, just about. Keep in mind that what's going on in Acts 2:42 to 47 was not some dedicated classroom, though they were certainly absorbing what the apostles were saying. You might remember that when Jesus did his teaching, his classroom was wherever he was standing or sitting. And this is certainly what was happening with these believers in the presence of the apostles as they were teaching. In Acts 2:42-47, listen to these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. If we stop right there, was that a critical statement? The apostles had been informed by God, this is the information I want done. And the apostles then put it out in front of people. Now, if they put it out for the people to see and read and deal with, then they were to gather that and put that in their little bank as they're learning. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs formed by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. No building, no necessarily lights, and didn't cost anything to fix the roof, all of that stuff. It came out of what was already there, out of the people. Do I think we're going to be able to pick all this up and sling it out here a few times and get people just to jump into that? No. But at least we know that there's things about that that needs to be known. We are a people together. We are a people who God has chosen to allow us to do what He said. We have to do something. They were inspired by the Word of God. We are perspiring for the Word of God. We have to do the work to learn this. You know, you don't just pick up another language and everything's okay. You got to get it right. Teaching in this context is not generic, but it's a specific instruction about who Jesus Christ is and what He's about. That's what it's all about. So, though that sounds simple, it's very, very complex. It's very complex. The block in the church today is something that is bothering me a lot. I can't fix it. When our kids were little and something broke, you know what they would come and do? What would they say? Fix it, Daddy. And I did that fix it, Daddy thing lots of times. Now I get my boys and say, fix it, boy. That there is a, another side. I'm not on a soapbox, but I'm telling you, in the church today, there is a dumbing down. Huge dumbing down. It is a bad dumbing down. If you were building a rocket ship, you had 50 people working on it, and everybody had a job, and you're over here doing your job, and everybody else is over here saying, you know what? I just had a good idea last night. I think I'm going to change this rocket thing over here, and I think it'll be better. Yeah, you light that thing, and all of a sudden you might hear boom. All of that stuff has to be integrated. You can't just jump up and it's there. Teaching in the context here is not generic. It was specific stuff. The block in the church today is that people are getting spoon-fed. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm guilty of some of that. But I don't want any more of it. I don't know how to get back. It's been a bad 2 years for me. It might get worse before it's better. But I can tell you, I don't want it that way anymore. I want to say something, but you can't always do that. You do what you can with what you got at the moment and ask God to give you more moments to do more things. Jesus took these Israelites and He modified much of what they thought they knew. And then He told them the truths that were coming in the light in deeper ways. That's what teaching is. That's how you put it in there. The block in the church today is being spoon-fed. Oh, don't give us much. You know, oh, that's too much. Do you know in the early, I don't know about in Jesus' day, but I know back in the old time, Anita and I remember going into mall church houses where we had an old guy there who was the song leader. His name was Calvin Carroll. And he got up when it come time to lead the singing, and he stuck his finger up, and that's how he did it. He waved that thing, you remember? If he's a little bit tired, he'd sit down, pat his foot, and still run that thing. I'm thinking about doing that this evening. They had mules or horseback, and they went all over the country, all over Arkansas and up in there, and they did meetings all over the place. Listening to other people teach can be awesome because they have other ideas that can be bounced off and, you know, played with a little bit. and say, hey, this is working, but you know what? If we did this over here, it'd really work over here, these two things combined. And they did a lot of their work like that. Now, I don't want to keep us in here all the day, and I got more stuff than I can do, but I will tell you that there's a saying going around that says, preacherettes who preach sermonettes create Christianettes. Sounds good for me. But what I would like is not something cute like that. I'd like to know what Melchizedek said about it. Now, when you do that, you're going to be looking at something big, huge. And God put it right out there for us to see. We're going to see what we're going to do in the time. I'm going to try to get better at what I do. Took a whack out of me for a couple of years. It may do it worse, I don't know. But we won't know till we know, right? All right, y'all hang with me. I'm going to just put this right here and make Alan sing.